We've had a slight change of schedule, so Bruno is going to, as I mentioned before, is going to actually step in and give this next presentation.
So thank you very much for the organization of the conference. I'm very happy to present you the work that we have done with Marianne Bertrand, with Alicia Margery and Patrick Prémant, which is today in the room. It's about public work programs, and it's in Côte d'Ivoire. So I will first motivate our studies and present the intervention and data and also the experimental design because it's a randomized controlled trial. And then I will present the main results on the average treatment effect. But one focus of our paper is on heterogeneity analysis, and I will spend some time discussing this point. And then I will conclude. So public work programs are widely used by policymakers to address underemployment and poverty. So there are various schemes, but basically the idea is to offer temporary employment to low-skilled people. So the main idea of public works is to transfer some cash to a vulnerable population. So for this reason, you expect that such type of program will improve welfare during the program. However, those programs also often seek to improve employment outcomes through various channels. For example, there might be an improvement in work experience. There might be also the ability for participants to save. Those are channels through which you expect that there might be an impact after the program has ended. So far, there have been several studies examining public work program, but they have focused mainly on impact during the program. There is actually very little evidence, and it's quite controversial about impact after the program has ended, and especially on employment activity. There is another very important aspect which is associated with public work, which is the notion of self-targeting. Actually, those programs sometimes are named cash for work programs. That is, the basic idea, you want to program to provide some cash to people, but you ask them in exchange to do some work, and for this reason, only those for whom it will be profitable will participate in the program. So this feature has some implications for the design of this type of program. And for example, Besley and Coate in their paper shows that it's possible actually to choose the wage in order to attract within the program those for whom the impact is the largest. There is also another implication which has been documented by Ravaillon, which is the notion of foregone earnings. That is, if you propose, if the program gives 50,000 francs, for example, to its participants, then the impact is unlikely to be 50,000 francs on the impact on earning, because people to participate in the program have to forego some of their activity, and they have to forego the earning which are associated with those activities. So this has the last implication, which is the fact that the impact is likely to be highly heterogeneous. So there are applicants for whom the opportunities in the labor market are quite limited, and for them, if you propose them 50,000 francs in the public work program, then the impact will be 50,000 francs for them. But there are also marginal applicants, that is people who are almost indifferent between participating in the program and not participating in the program. And for those people, the impact on earnings during the program is likely to be far smaller. So heterogeneity is an important feature of this type of program. So what are the main research questions that we want to address? So first, we want to look at average treatment effect. So we're interested in looking at short-term effect when people are in the program. But we are also interested in learning about what are the impact after people have left the program. And this is quite, as I said before, quite controversial whether this type of impact exists. And we want to learn about the cost effectiveness of the program. So the results that we have on this side are the fact that there is actually a low impact on when people are in the program, on employment and hours of work. This is the reason for that is that people, all the participants are already working. And this is an illustration of the foregone activity associated with participation in this type of program. So there is an increase, but this increase is not very large. However, if we look at the impact on earnings, we see when people are in the program that there is a large impact on the earnings of people. However, this program, this increase is only 42% of the transfer, which again emphasizes how important foregone earnings are in public work program. When we turn to post-program impact, what we see is that there is an increase actually in the impact of there is an increase in earnings after the program has ended, and this is an interesting result because, as I said, this is something which is highly debated. However, when we look at cost effectiveness of the program, we see that the results are very poor on this side. That is, it would be necessary for the impact after the program to be sustained over a very long period of time. For example, our competition is 23 years actually for the program to be cost effective. So the other thing that we want to do in the paper is to understand heterogeneity, because I has explained before heterogeneity is an important feature of this type of program. We want to think about heterogeneity so as to see whether or not there's a way to improve the cost effectiveness of the program. That is, if we keep the idea, the first way we want to address this question, if we keep this idea of self-targeting, is there a way to reduce, to improve the cost effectiveness by changing the cash amount which is associated with the program. So that's, you're playing to some extent with the self-targeting mechanism. But there is also another way, which is just to identify who are the participants for whom impacts are the larger, and to implement a standard selection based on those specific individuals. So to do that, we have implemented machine learning tools to explore this heterogeneity, and this has the interest that we are able to measure the distribution of impact both during the program and after the program. So the results that we obtain is that there's a substantial heterogeneity in the impact that we detect when we use those machine learning algorithms. And the overall lesson that we take from that is that there are large gains by departing from self-selection. That is, if we want to change the price, and for example, if we want to reduce the cash amounts, that we don't see that there would be this would lead to an increase in the cost effectiveness of the program. However, the machine learning algorithms that we have implemented help us to identify some characteristics of participants for whom the impact is large. For example, the impact are quite large on women, and they are also quite large on the poorest of the of the applicants. And if we consider this specific population, then the impact after the program has ended have to be sustained for 3 or 4 years in order to get cost effectiveness. So this is a substantial improvement compared to the average case that we have, where it was 23 years. So what is the program? The program has been implemented in Côte d'Ivoire. Basically, it offers a population which there is very little selection. It's just youth, age 18 to 30 years, with a quota of 30% of women, to work temporary for 6 months, working 6 hours per day and 5 days a week, and the it's paid the minimum wage, and basically those young people are cleaning the road. The program was highly very good quality. Implementation was of very good quality, as part of the program, we also add some complementary trainings. So this is our design. The program was implemented in four waves, and each wave had 3,000 participants and 11,000 young people applied to the program. So it was highly oversubscribed, because this type of program is highly attractive for the young people. So the assignment to the program was organized through a public lottery that is independently of our experiment. It's the way the program is allocated. The program was implemented just after the conflict, so it was very important that who get this job done in a very transparent way. So that's the reason why the allocation was done with a public lottery. And the assignment rate, as you see, is around 25 persons. That is, for people who apply, they have one chance over four to be selected to participate in the program. So this 25% is important for us, because when we will study the targeting, we will focus on how best to choose the 25% of the population in order to improve the cost effectiveness. So you have on the graph the design of our experiment. So we started from a very large population, 11,000 people, and 3,000 were randomly assigned to participate by the lottery to participate in the program. So we have also a very large control group, and in this control group we follow 1,000 individual to run our survey. So in the program, there is also complementary training. That is, there is a complementary training which is related to self-employment, and a complementary training which is more related to wage employment, which is a job search program, basically. So I will not talk a lot about this aspect today, because mainly what we want to focus is on how is it possible to improve the program, changing the participation and in the program. Sometimes when we look at performance of program, we are very interested in the content of program. That is, when we discuss programs and we discuss the difference between the content of the program. What we want to focus today on is the fact that it's possible also to change a lot the performance of the program without changing the content of the program, but changing the participation of the program, which focus on heterogeneity. It's in another important margin on which there has been less emphasis. So this is the timeline of our experiment. So we started with a baseline survey, which is very important for us because all the machine learning tools that we will implement are based on this baseline survey. And then we have the period of the program, which lasts for 5 months. And within this period of time, we have our midline survey. Which is 4 or 5 months after the program has started. So the results that we will obtain for the impact during the program are obtained with this survey. And then we have the endline survey, which is 12 to 15 months after the program has ended. And as you can see, we were quite successful in running those surveys because we have a very large participation response rate in those surveys. So the regressions that I will show are based on a very simple specification. So basically, we run a regression in which the dependent variable is explained by the assignment variable. So it's an intention to treat. So there are a set of control variables, but those control variables are just the design of the survey. That is, there is a dummy variable corresponding to each lottery which was implemented, and it's the only thing that we have in the program. So the take-up rate was, we don't focus at all in the take-up rate because we're just looking at the intention to treat, but it's good to have a knowledge about the take-up rate, and it was very, very large. 93% of the participants stayed in the program for at least five months. So you have here a first table, I hope it's large enough, in which you have the result, our main result, during the program and after the program has ended. So those are the average treatment effect. So in the first column, we have the impact on the fact that young people have an activity or not. And as you can see here, there is a significant increase, so 12%, but it's not very large. It's not what we expect. We could have expected that an increase by 100%, for example, because a very large increase in the participation in the labor market. And the impact is quite small because actually, if you look at the control group, there is 86% of the young people who are already working. So this is an illustration of this foregone activity. A lot of the young people were already working, they already had an activity, and they just reorganized their portfolio of activities in order to participate in the program. And you can see that also in the number of hours of work. When people are, this is the second column, in the control group, young people are already working 41 hours a week. The increase in the number of hours of work is just 3.5. Okay, so it's significant, but it's far below what we could have expected. However, if we look at the total earning, we see that there is a substantial increase, which is 21,000 francs, and this is a substantial increase if you compare that to the earnings in the control group, which is just 60,000. And we can look also at impact on wage employment and also on self-employment. And you can see impact on self-employment, there is a strong reduction. And this illustrates the fact that young people have a portfolio of activity, but they have to forego part of those activities in order to participate in the program. So this is a very important feature, which is common to many developing countries. So if we compare increase in total earning, with this 21,000 franc increase, to the amount of the transfer, which is 50,000, then you see that it's only 42% of the increase. And this again illustrates the fact that a lot of people absent the program would have had activities and that they had to forego part of those activities in order to participate in the program. So that's for the impact during the program. And as you can see, there is something appearing.
I will try.
Yes. If I can.
Let's take some risk. Click OK.
Yes. Good. And so, as you can see on the post-program impact, there is no change at all in the number of hours of work and the participation in the labor market. But we see that there is a small increase, far smaller than during the program, but there is, it's significant, a small increase in total earning, which corresponds mainly to increase in self-employment. So that's the interpretation of this result, is that people just improve the quality of work that they were that they had before. If we look at now the cost effectiveness, we see the result that we find is that the cost effectiveness is very poor. The program has a very large cost because you have the cost of providing the cash to the young people, but you have also all the costs which are associated with implementing the program. That is organizing all the work of the young people, which is also something which has a large cost. And so if we compare the those costs to the increase in earning for the young people, we see that we have to assume that hope that the impact will last. The post-program impact will last for around 20 years for the program to be cost effective. So the question we have is whether or not it's possible to improve the public work program cost effectiveness. And so one possibility to improve the cost effectiveness is to change the selection of individuals. That is to work on the specific feature of the program, which is a self-selection. That is, if we change the cash transfer, maybe we will attract people for whom the program has a larger impact. So that's the initial idea of Besley and Coate. Another way to improve the public work cost effectiveness is to change the selection of applicants into the program. That is to identify who are the persons for the type, what is the type of individuals for whom the program has the largest impact. And so what we show is that the machine learning can help provide answer to both questions. It reveals that there is a large heterogeneity during the program, but also after the program, and it helps us to identify who are the applicants for whom those impact are the largest. So if we think about heterogeneity, the usual way to explore heterogeneity when you have a randomized control trial or other program evaluation is to run quantile treatment effect. Quantile treatment effect is simply the difference between the quantile of a given order in the treatment and the control group. And if those quantile treatment effect is different from for the different type of quantile, for example, the 10%, the 20% quantile, the 50% quantile, the median, and so on, then you can conclude that there is heterogeneity. Okay, it's what we have done here, and as you can see, especially for the impact during the program, there is a large heterogeneity. However, when you have this result, it's difficult to do something with that. You know, it's difficult to turn this knowledge into something which is practical and on which you could obtain an improvement in the program. So that's the reason why we have turned to another way to address the heterogeneity of program, which is to use machine learning in order to measure for each categories of individuals what is the impact on those individuals. So there is now many algorithms which have been developed in the machine learning literature to predict a variable, so expectation of Y conditional on X, and they have those beautiful names, tree, random forest. But recently, There has been attempts to import those methods in the causality literature. That is, in this case, the purpose is to explain the expectation, is to compute the expectation of the impact y1 minus y0 conditional on x. And it's a much complicated, more complicated problem, because when you run a standard machine learning algorithm, you predict, you compare the prediction to the variable y that you have. But when you have this causal impact, actually the causal impact is never, you can never measure it. So it's, this raises a lot, a set of specific and complicated questions that have been addressed, for example, in Assay, by Assay and in Embens. Now there are many algorithms which are available, and so those algorithms are quite complicated. They involve many different steps. Sometimes they include the transformation of the variable. So we're very far from the transparent analysis that we are used to with randomized control trials, in which you have the treatment and the control, you compute the average and you make the difference. And it's not at all the case that you do this simple task conditional on X. It's really something which involves a lot of steps. So there's plenty of methods, but actually there is very few implementation of this type of program, of this type of method. There is a paper, for example, by Davis and Heller on the summer camp in Chicago, which is one implementation, but there's not much than that. There's also simulation studies, for example, here in Switzerland by Knaus and his co-authors, which was quite helpful, because it helps to understand what are the methods which works well and which doesn't work well. And actually, there are some which work, which are a bit better than the other. Okay, so what we have done is to apply causal forest algorithms. So those algorithms have been proposed by Assay and Weger, and they are known from this previous study by Knaus to perform quite well in their simulation. So we have used a large set of baseline covariates, which covers a set of topics such as demographics, earnings, and activity. Also self-employment, savings, financial constraints, and also a set of psychometric tests. So this method, when you implement it, it mechanically produces some heterogeneity. So where we are now with this study is to try to learn whether this is true heterogeneity or which is just noise. And there is those recent paper by Chernozukov and his co-author, which help to test whether the heterogeneity that you can measure using those machine learning tools is a real heterogeneity, or whether it is just noise. So here are the results that we obtain when we run those algorithms. So you have two distributions. The distribution in red is the distribution of impact during the program. So as you can see, there is a lot of heterogeneity in this. The distribution is quite large. And in blue, you have the distribution of individual impact after the program has ended, so it's more narrow. So what we can do with this heterogeneity, so we can, once this heterogeneity is identified from the data, we can use this heterogeneity in order to understand whether or not it's possible to improve the performance of the program. So the first thing that we can do is to consider, if I reduce the transfer, for example, the transfer was 55,000 francs. If I reduce this transfer by an amount, so it's T0. If I reduce this amount by this transfer by a given amount going to T, then the self-selection will change. Okay, and therefore I am able to compute what is the average impact on those who will still self-select into the program, taken into account that because there is an increase in the self-selection, there are less people participating in the program, I can increase the share of people participating in the program. Okay, so the formula that you have here, the W of T, is what is the measure, what is the performance of the program once you have used this change the self-selection rule. And the probability below P of T is just the share of people who will still self-select into the program if you reduce the program transfer from T0 to T. Okay, and so you have here the result. So the dotted
must be something. So, I think there's a notation type. Must be a typo. It doesn't matter. I think it's a PT right there.
PT.
In the denominator.
No, I think it's T. It's T because you account for the fact that when you change the self-selection rule, this saves some money, and you reinvest this money in order to increase the participation of other people. So instead of having 25%, randomly assigning 25%, maybe you will decide, because you have saved a lot of money by the self-selection, that you can have 29% or 30%. So this is the why. If it's not a typo, it's an error. But we can discuss.
You have to be scaling up.
Okay. Yes. No, it's proportional. It's proportional. So you have here the result. So the dotted line shows you what is the impact on the proportion of people who will still self-select into the program when you reduce the amount of the transfer. As you can see, when you go from 55,000 to 50,000, there is not much change. And this is related to the distribution that I have shown you before, which is quite thin around zero. So there are marginal applicants, but there are not very much applicants. So if you reduce the transfer, you will not exclude by the self-selection mechanism a large share of individuals. And the solid line gives you what is the performance of the program compared to the performance of the initial program. And as you can see, when we reduce the transfer amount, there's no improvement. There's just a reduction in the performance. So playing with the self-selection, as was proposed by Besley and Coates, do not lead to an improvement in the program. Okay, so once this is done, we can look at what are the potential implications of the heterogeneity that we have measured on the distribution of earning. So you have here in this table the average of the predicted impact, individual impact, when we divide the distribution into four quartiles. For example, in the panel B, you have the impact during the program, and in the first column, you have the average of the individual treatment effect on earning during the program for the first quartile. So it's 9,900. And when we go through the different quartiles, we can go, for example, through the fourth quartile, we see that it's 28,000. So which means that there is a large heterogeneity in practice, because if we select the bottom quartile, we have 9,000, or say 10,000. If we go to the fourth quartile, we go to something like 30,000. So it's a large increase. We obtain that exactly in the same way for the post-program impact. So that's on the second column on the gray area. If we consider the first quartile, we have 1,500, and if we consider the last quartile, we have 8,300. So which means that there is a large potential for improvement of the performance of the program through targeting the individuals who are in those groups. Okay? But as you can see, as you... As you can see also, if we consider, for example, the quartile of during impact on earning, but if we look at the different quartiles for this impact during the program, but what is the impact after the program has ended for those individuals? So that's the gray area. We see that for those individuals, there's no difference. Okay? So the individuals for whom the impact is large during the program are not individuals for whom the program is large after the program has ended. And the same thing is true also for the post-program impact. That is, if we consider individuals for whom the impact are large, the post-program impact are large, they are not especially large during the program. Okay? So another way to see that is to look at the scatter plot of the program, the impact during the program and after the program has ended. So as you see, there is no clear association between the two, and what you can see is that the correlation is almost zero. So those for whom the program works well during the program are not those for whom the program works well after the program has ended. And if we consider people for whom the impact is large during the program, those individuals are in red, you see that there are no specific aspects regarding their the impact after the program has ended. And it's the same thing if we consider individuals for whom the program is large. After the program has ended, there's no specific feature associated with, characteristic associated with whether the program works well during the program. Okay? So what do we learn? We learn that there is a large potential to use targeting to improve both impact during and post-program. So as I said before, we don't have standard errors for that, but it will come soon. The thing that we see is that there is no negative correlation, which means that if you improve on one side, you will not lose on the other side. So which means that there is really a potential to improve the program on the using the targeting rules. Now, those targeting rules, this prediction, the expectation of the impact conditional on X, it's a very complicated function of the X. So it's important to see whether it's possible to turn this complicated function of the baseline variable into something which is operational. That is something that we can turn into a set of characteristics that can be used in order to target. So that's the reason why what we have done was to consider people who were in the top 25% and to see what are the characteristics of those individuals and whether they differ from the characteristics of the individuals who applied. And then we have looked at what are the impact if we directly target those individuals. Okay? You have here the result of this analysis. If we consider the heterogeneous impact during the program, we have the first quartile and the fourth quartile, and we can consider what are the characteristics of individuals in the first and the fourth quartile. And as you can see, gender is one characteristic which is very different. So 22% of the women are in the first quartile, but 43% are in the fourth quartile. And if we consider also people who have the earnings of people, we see that the average earning in the first quartile is 32,000, but in the fourth quartile is it's 7,000, which means that people who are in the fourth quartile, so people from the program works quite well, are also people who are the poorest.
Bruno, I'm going to ask you to speed up in the next couple of minutes so that we leave 5 minutes for...
Yes. The last thing that we have done was to compare what is the impact when we directly target on those specific populations. That is, on if we consider, for example, on women, the nice thing that we see is that actually the impact is larger both during the program and after the program has ended. And it's the same if we consider people with low baseline earning. The impact is larger during the program, but also larger after the program has ended. So there is some substantial implications for cost effectiveness because if we target on these characteristics of individuals, we only need the program, the impact after the program has ended to be sustained over 3 to 4 years for the program to be cost effective. So there is some practical impact.
Actually, I'm going to take this question. Imran, do you have a question?
You have to have some idea of how the cost of implementing the program would vary as you change these selection criteria.
Sorry?
You have to make some underlying assumption about how the cost of implementing the program would vary as you change selection criteria. So gender is obviously very easy to observe, but if I target poor individuals, that must have some associated cost of implementation. And so, you know, one way to look at it is, why don't they use something that's easily observable like gender?
Mm-hmm.
The other way to look at it is, well, to do the cost-benefit analysis fairly, you have to say there is an increase in cost of implementing more rigorous types of information. If I were to, you know, there's no way that it would be cheap for me to implement targeting by poverty or any of the other characteristics that you had. So, to understand the general problem, you need to say something about the cost structure here as well. But also, what is the mechanism that links the impacts during the program versus after the program? Do you have a sense of what might be going on there?
The mechanism of which turned the impact during the program to the impact after the program. Well, actually, it's also something that we have been able to study using the machine learning. That is, we have looked at what are the impacts for those for whom the impact was the larger during the program, and we see that on other variables. So, for example, on savings, and other and investments, and we see that there is also a correlation on this side. So all the analysis that we have done on this side point to the fact that there is when there is an impact, a positive impact, it goes through the self-employment channel.
I think there was another question for the floor, but if you can go to the very end, I'll let actually Bruno just conclude now.
Thank you, and it's a follow-up question. So since we are to the first question, and since we are at the ILO here, and you may know that about 15% of people working here, I'm talking about the technical position, they actually work on social protection. So there's a certain amount of expertise in the house. And my colleagues in social protection have pointed out regarding to targeting to two points. The first is the cost of targeting. Designing, implementing, monitoring, targeting in developing countries is very costly. Just administrative costs, checking the papers, all that. Mm-hmm. And the second point is that there is a high risk with targeting of excluding people who are most in need of social protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're talking about Côte d'Ivoire, so probably there are a certain amount of ex-soldiers, perhaps with slight mental health challenges, who've lost their paper.
Mm-hmm.
So by targeting, you risk of excluding these people, and thereby you defeating the very purpose of public work, which is to provide social protection in a developing country setting without unemployment benefit and employment assistant. And I also have a small point on gender. I think it's a very interesting result what you find on gender, that there are better results, if I can put it that way, better result for women. But it would be oversimplistic to conclude that then you must have a higher quota for women, because the purpose of public work program in Côte d'Ivoire is not just social protection, it's also social cohesion, peace and resilience. So you also want to keep young men in the program, just to keep them out of, political trouble.
Yes. No, sure, you're perfectly right. I totally agree. So that's for the first, there are many aspects in your question. The first aspect is related to the fact that we have to take into account the cost of targeting. This is perfectly right. It's the reason why we wanted to have this second part of our analysis, in which we want to see whether it's possible to match our complicated function requiring a lot of characteristics to be measured on a baseline into something which is simple. And it turns out that it's, as I said before, that's on women, it's particularly effective, and also on the people who are the poorest. So that's the. There are various ways after to measure this, whether people are poor or not. And I agree that what we do is just to see whether it's possible to what are the characteristics which would be relevant for this cost effectiveness. Now, the point that you made about social protection is exactly the reason why we found it's very interesting to look at the joint distribution of impact during the program and after the program. And the results that we have obtained show that there is no positive association between those two dimensions. That is, we don't say that something has to be done, but we say that, for example, in our because of our results, that if we make a choice, this will have some implication either on the dimension of the social protection or on the dimension of employment. There's no positive, clear association between the two, and that's just the fact that comes out of our result. Now, the targeting rule depends, of course, on the other type of choices. And the last point is that we have focused a lot on earnings, but it's true that there are many other impacts which are very important. And for example, in our surveys, we have not yet fully examined those questions. We have a lot of questions which are associated with social behavior and whether the participation in the program changed the behavior of support.
These are all great points. Do you want to put up the conclusion slides and then we can keep on talking?
I'm done. Thanks a lot.
I guess I can take one question from the floor and then I will defer everything else to coffee break.
Maybe just a compliment to what Bruno said. I think implementing something like a proxy mean test would be $20 to $30 a person. So if you're as relative to the cost of the program, it's quite marginal.
Okay, last one.
I was wondering whether you observe any changes in the nature of employment after the program has ended. That is, within the category of self-employment, do you observe a greater or lower heterogeneity in terms of economic activities?
So as you can see, we have not much change in the portfolio of activity. The only thing that we see is that the earnings are larger. So which means that there is an improvement of the quality of work that people, the quality of jobs that people that people have. And what we see is that this is related to self-employment. But there is not much that we can say above that. It turns, however, it's well in line with some results which have been obtained with a large number of other experiments, which shows that the return to capital for this type of population is very large, and it fits well with this this type of results.
Excellent session. So let's then reconvene at whatever the schedule says. I think it says 2:45 at this point. So we'll do that.